You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Identity theft refers to a fraud that involves getting money or other benefits by pretending to be someone else. According to the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association, identity fraud is one of the most visible and serious types of privacy breach, and it's increasing in its occurrence. BC FIPA is sponsoring a privacy and ID theft conference at the end of next month. Richard Rosenberg is the president of the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association, and he's joined me by phone to discuss the issue. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Now, identity theft sounds like a kind of a law and order issue. Why should people care about it?
Well, because it impacts people by their identity being compromised, which means that people find out things about them, their credit card numbers, things, passwords that can be used by those thieves to obtain money and services in the name of the person that they've stolen the information from. And that would be sort of the carrying the privacy issue to its completion. Not only is your privacy compromised, but you will have to pay or work out some scheme to describe that things have been stolen and you're not really responsible for the goods and services taken in your name.
Is there also a basic right around privacy and anonymity?
Yes, there is. We have privacy laws both in the province of BC and in for the federal government. So privacy is a right. Now, what's interesting is that in our charter, which took effect something like 25 years ago, the word privacy itself doesn't appear. But within the rights that are guaranteed in that charter, the courts have recognized the right of privacy as a basic right in a democratic society.
Now, does the popular advice that we see that it's our own responsibility to protect our ID address the bigger issue at stake here?
Well, I think that's the basic thing to do. I mean, if you don't protect it, if you don't take steps and be concerned about protecting it, you shouldn't be surprised that it's compromised. But even if you do try to protect it, the ways in which it can be compromised are so diverse and so complex that in many cases, even if you do take care to protect your identity, it can be stolen.
Is there a responsibility for governments and even businesses to ensure that it's reasonably easy to protect our ID?
Well, there is responsibility. Whether it's easy or not is another question, because once you go on the internet and once you provide information, whatever they can take, to whatever the agencies and the government can do to protect you is compromised again by your taking steps which release information. So if you go to some website and you provide certain kinds of information that you think is reasonably important, you know, we receive these messages, these spams on a regular basis saying our bank account may have a problem in it. Go to this website and provide information to make sure your account is working. Well, very often, in fact, almost all the time, banks do not communicate over the internet if there's a problem with your bank account. So if you go to those sites, any of those sites, they will ask you to provide a variety of information, all in the guise of protecting your account. And if you provide it, there's nothing that the police or that the institutions themselves could have done to protect it because you've given it away.
A number of groups, including FIPA, suggested changes to the federal privacy law last year. What sort of things were you asking for?
Okay, this was the first a review of the federal privacy law, PIPEDA, which took place about 5 years after it was originally passed. And there were a whole bunch of provisions in this law. And one of the things that FIPA and other organizations were concerned about was what happens if identity theft takes place. And one kind of identity theft, which I haven't mentioned so far, is the kind of place at the root where your information is held. Somebody gets in there, some hacker gets in there and determines a whole bunch of information about lots of people. Okay, so now your information has been compromised. You've done nothing to cause it, but it's happened. What is the responsibility of those organizations that have suffered this breach of identity by many of their clients? Should they inform the police? You think yes. Should they inform the Privacy Commissioner of Canada because it is a privacy violation? When should they inform you? And what should that information they provide you look like? That is not only to tell you there's been a compromise, say, with your credit card for some bank, but to say now what you should do is the following. Take the following steps. And so it was felt that the law was lacking because privacy, identity theft wasn't an issue when the Canadian privacy law was passed. So it's important that the steps be very clear, that if this is a violation of your privacy information held by some agency, they have a responsibility to inform you that something's happened, and they also have a responsibility, or at least should have, to advise you about steps you can take to protect yourself as much as possible during this difficult time.
So what sort of changed roles for government do you think would help deal with those sort of issues that you just raised?
Well, that's difficult. I think there are various responsibilities that we've looked at. So the responsibility on individuals to be very careful on how they supply information, never give it out unless you're absolutely sure the agency you're giving out to is okay. But what's really important in the things we're concerned about now is that as quickly as possible when it's recognized. You know, for example, traditionally banks have been very reluctant to reveal that they've compromised their clients' information, because banks, by their very existence, are supposed to protect information, protect the money, of course, of their customers. So what's important in this new age is that they recognize that there are various ways in which information from their clients can be compromised, and this can result in loss of money. So what's important is that both the government, the police, the privacy agencies within the provinces and the federal government, and individuals all have a responsibility. It can't be just lumped onto one and forgotten about the others. And so to work out the appropriate steps of how people should be protected and what steps they can take if there's a problem, these all have to become publicly known as part of the costs of doing business these days on the internet and other places.
That's interesting that you mentioned that publicizing the loss, and that also would presumably apply to businesses. Are there models for forcing prompt disclosure and more responsibility from businesses and banks and the likes?
Well, even though, for example, in the United States, where there is no federal privacy law, individual states have constructed their own privacies, and again, individual states, recognizing the identity theft problem, have put a burden on companies that have suffered identity breach, a loss of information to their clients, to notify their clients right away and to give them clear and appropriate advice on how to proceed from that point to minimize the loss. And I think that's an important step. And also, this is an area where passing a law is not clearly not enough. The publicity associated with that law has to be made continually in process. That is, governments have to continually notify the citizens that here's what you do under these circumstances, and here are things you shouldn't do in your regular internet activity, because if they don't, who will?
I get the impression that few ID theft crimes result in actual prosecution. How can the work of police be improved from a public interest perspective?
It's a very difficult question to answer, because the various people who crack into files and held by companies are very sophisticated. The term hacker is used. And for many of them, it's a challenge to get in, and it's a challenge to get out without being identified. And so typically, by the time the police find out about it, the hacker has left the scene. Hacker's no longer in the house. And the money, some money is gone, some information is gone. And at that point, police are facing a rather difficult problem. What they are doing, and this is important, is they are increasing their sophistication. So the training of special branches of police departments in internet crime has become an important area of activity. And so we would expect the police to be much more sophisticated over the years on dealing with these kinds of crimes and taking the appropriate steps.
You have a two-day conference coming up next month, and that's focused on the relationship between privacy, trust, and identity theft. What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, as in many of these conferences, we hope to share information amongst various groups. The companies themselves, the software companies that provide the tools that people can use on the internet, individuals, the privacy commissioners will share information that they found. We hope that legislatures will pay attention to this and go beyond their current activity in the laws appropriate to identity theft. And we hope that individuals will find out more about this. If this kind of conference is publicized and people are made, again, another instance of being made aware of these possibilities, that will create more care in the use of the Internet. The Internet's a wonderful tool, and for most people it's used as a system which for finding all kinds of great things. But we were recently informed by a poll that identity theft is increasing, and currently something like 12% of people in Ontario have said they suffered some kind of identity theft. I mean, 12% is a rather large number, and given the numbers of people on the Internet, this is an extraordinary amount of crime increasing at this level. So we really hope that it will trigger a response from the media to cover this, to interview appropriate people, to bring again, and it has to be done continually because people forget, get used to what the things that they've been doing. So we just hope people will be more informed, be made more aware of these issues.
Thanks very much for talking to me about this issue.
Oh, you're welcome.
I've been talking with Richard Rosenberg. Richard Rosenberg is the president of the BC Freedom of Information and Privacy Association, that's BC FIPA. They're sponsoring a privacy and ID theft conference on November the 24th and 25th. For more information, you can follow the link from the fipa.bc.ca page.